This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we continue with the series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick shows us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about an amazing opportunity to come alongside this ministry in our efforts to see lives change through the gospel. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message, or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Showing Respect.
Now, some people today don't understand tactfulness. In fact, they often confuse rudeness with frankness. And they think they're being frank in the way they talk when actually they're just being rude. I mean, have you ever heard people say, "Well, I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may"? It's not smart at all, folks, and that is certainly not frankness. If I were to say to you, "I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall," it basically says, I couldn't care less about you. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if it demeans you or demoralizes you. I don't care at all about your reaction, because all I care about is just saying whatever I want to say. Folks, that's not candor. That's rudeness. That's not being frank. That's being mean to people. It's being disrespectful. Whenever you're frank with people, and God wants you to tell the truth, you need to say it in a non-demeaning and a respectful way. Whenever you start to be frank with someone, you need to ask yourself, why am I going to say this? Why? Am I going to say this to destroy them or to develop them? Am I going to say it to build them up or to tear them down? Am I going to say this to make a point that I get credit for, or am I doing this to try to find some common ground? Am I going to say this to protect people's dignity or to punish them? You see, a lot of times when we think we're being frank, we think we're having candor, we're just spouting off our anger. We're just venting our anger. And there's no value to that. That's nothing to be proud of. God says, be tactful and truthful at the same time. Number two, when I'm being served by people, I need to be understanding, not demanding. I need to be understanding, not demanding. One of the greatest tests of your character is how you treat people when they serve you. I'm talking about with waitresses or waiters, with clerks, with employees, with secretaries, with people who work for you, with your husband, with your wife, with children. When people are doing something for you, are you understanding or are you demanding? I often, when I'm hiring staff, take them to a restaurant and watch how they relate to the waitress. Because somebody who's rude and is demanding, not understanding, has a character flaw that we don't want. Luke tells us like this. Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. You see, I like what Eric Hoffer says. He says, rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. That's good, isn't it? Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. Listen, it takes no intelligence at all to be rude. It's kind of like profanity. It's like cussing. It takes no IQ, no intelligence at all to cuss. I can teach a parrot with a pea brain how to say dirty words. So when you cuss, when you use profanity, that doesn't show your machismo, or if you're a woman, it doesn't show your assertiveness. It proves nothing about your intelligence. In fact, it takes no intelligence. It takes no character at all to cuss. It just means you have a limited vocabulary. On the other hand, it takes great character and great maturity and great strength to be understanding, not demanding of people. Really, the secret of service, of great service, is to treat people the way you would like to be treated. And when a waitress serves you, you be understanding that she may be under a lot of stress. She may have three kids at home and she's a single parent. Or the last three customers may have been rude to her. Or there's a slowdown in the kitchen because they got one cook instead of three, and it's not her fault. And if you're smart, if you're mature, you're understanding, not demanding, and you treat people with respect, you're sympathetic of their situations, you are considerate of their stress, and you treat them with value and with dignity. Now, of course, the best place to practice this is at home. More marriages are ruined, killed by rudeness than anything else. When I used to do marriage counseling, I was amazed at how many marriages are buried by one little dig after another. You know, just constantly putting down, constantly cutting, constantly being rude. And it's one little dig and another, you know, here a dig, there a dig, everywhere a dig, dig, and pretty soon the marriage is buried. And it's over. Now, I don't know if this bothers you, but it bothers me. Why is it that sometimes we are the most disrespectful to the people that we love the most? I know people who treat their families in ways they would never consider treating a stranger. And they say hurtful things to their families that they would never consider saying to a stranger. That's not right. That's just not right. And so God says even in our families, we need to be understanding, not demanding. I was amazed when I read this. It's not a joke. It actually was a news article about a couple who actually got an annulment on the basis of the husband's rudeness. And the wife went to court, and she claimed that her husband burped all the time. And so she filed for annulment. And the wild thing is that the judge ruled in her favor and granted her an annulment on the basis that if the husband really loved his wife, she wouldn't burp so much if it annoyed her that much, that he should be more considerate. So if you're looking for a way out of your marriage, just start burping a lot, okay? Kind of reminds me, you know, I really like hot food, really spicy, hot food. In fact, I collect hot sauces, bottles of them. You know, some people, they collect these fine wines and they have them there. I collect salsas and, you know, hot sauce. Now, none of this really wimpy stuff like, you know, jalapenos. You got to have habaneros or something really, you know, that gives you a spiritual experience when you taste it. You know, folks, I don't just believe in hell. I eat it. Okay, you know, I eat it, all right? The only thing is, I don't know if you notice this, but really, really hot peppers makes your nose run. Have you noticed this? And folks, when my nose runs, it's not a pretty sight. And I have had to learn, you know, I used to just blow my nose at every meal, and Kay had to teach me as a young newlywed, you don't do that at the table. And I understand why, because I've seen other people do it now, and it kind of grosses me out. But what I'm saying is this: courtesy is just love in the little things. That's all it is. It's showing respect for people by being courteous in the little things. So be tactful, not just truthful. Be understanding, not demanding. And then when you meet people you disagree with, here's a third area to work on respect: be gentle, not judgmental. When you disagree with people, be gentle, not judgmental. Now, as a believer in our society, there's a lot of things that I disagree with. And I'm sure there is you too. I mean, if you're a person who's really trying to do what God wants and follow His word, and in the scriptures there are things that says these are definitely right things and these are definitely wrong things. If you do the right, God puts His blessing on your life, things go better. If you don't, it causes all kinds of problems. So as a believer in today's world, there are a lot of things in our society I abhor. There are a lot of things in society that make me sick, that I disagree with, violently disagree with. But how am I supposed to react to these people? When somebody's my neighbor, or I work with them, or they happen to be a relative maybe, and they have a lifestyle choice or a decision or an action or attitude or behavior that I disagree with, in fact, I even know that it's wrong. How am I supposed to relate to these people? Well, I need to remember two things. Number one, I remember that ultimately every individual will be accountable to God for their own attitudes, actions, and behaviors. I'm going to give an account to God, and so are you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Today, so many people are confused about who they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives. That's because they're looking in the wrong places and living by values that are at odds with God's values. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together Building Your Life on Values That Last, that will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. This vegan leather-bound, full-color, beautifully illustrated guided study will reveal what God has to say about responsibility, trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. And it will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. It'll show you practical ways to make the changes you need to get back on track. And here's the best part. You don't have to do this on your own strength. God will guide you every step along the way. Building Your Life on Values That Last is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, application exercises, and lots of space for you to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. This comprehensive study tool will help you go deeper as you follow Jesus, and it's yours when you support Daily Hope financially. Call 800-600-5004 right now to get yours, or go to PastorRick.com. And when you sign up to be a partner in Hope, we'll send you a special gift to welcome you to the Daily Hope family. That's 800-600-5004, or go to PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
There are a lot of things in our society I abhor. There are a lot of things in society that make me sick, that I disagree with, violently disagree with. But how am I supposed to react to these people? When somebody's my neighbor, or I work with them, they happen to be a relative maybe, and they have a lifestyle choice or a decision or an action or attitude or behavior that I disagree with, in fact, I even know that it's wrong. How am I supposed to relate to these people? Well, I need to remember two things. Number one, I remember that ultimately, every individual will be accountable to God for their own attitudes, actions, and behaviors. I'm going to give an account to God, and so are you. And so one day, God's going to settle the score. One day, we're going to have to give an account for all of our actions to God. I need to remember that. The second thing I need to remember is, I'm not God. So those people are not accountable to me. And you're not God either. It is not my job to be a policeman running around trying to make everybody who's not a believer act like they are believers. In fact, the scripture says that people cannot act the way God wants them to act until they get God in their life. And he gives them the power to change, the power of Jesus Christ. So it's not my job to make people who aren't God's children act like God's children. It's not my job to personally clean up everybody's lifestyle. Now, notice this verse. Romans 14, 12. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on each other. Now, remember I said at the beginning of this series that telling the truth is not being judgmental. There are people who are trying to make that today. Like if you say, this is right and this is wrong, then you're being judgmental. No, you're not being judgmental. You're just telling the truth. If I were to say, you know, drink strychnine and you'll die, that's not being judgmental. That's telling the truth. If I say, go out here on the freeway and stand on the first lane, you'll get run over, that's not being judgmental. It's telling the truth. If I tell a woman who's pregnant with a young child, baby, and she's snorting cocaine, I say, you do that, you're going to harm the baby, that's not being judgmental. That's telling the truth. If I tell people who are disobeying God's moral laws that it's going to cause all kinds of consequences in their life, that's not being judgmental, it's telling the truth. What is judgmental is when you take the truth and you beat people over the head with it and then you enjoy it. Because it makes you feel morally superior. No, you tell the truth to help people, to help them, to change them, to develop them, not to harm them, to put them down and to cause them to feel bad. Now, sometimes the truth does make me feel bad, but that's not my your fault for telling me. It's just the truth tells the truth. What I'm saying is this, is you can disagree with somebody without being disagreeable. And you don't have to devastate everybody you disagree with just because they're not doing what's right. Now, you can be right about something, but if you don't talk about it in love, it doesn't matter, because the Bible says if you don't have love, it's a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Honestly, some of the rudest people I've ever met were overzealous Christians who were so committed to the truth, but they don't really care that much about people, people that Jesus died for. And so they beat people over the head with it all the time in a judgmental fashion. Now listen, you can be right on an issue, but if you're rude about it, you're wrong. Because Jesus and the Bible does not say the greatest of these is being doctrinally correct. The Bible says the greatest of these is love. And if you are not doing what you do in love, it is wrong. It's wrong. We are to be gentle, not judgmental. You see, Jesus is watching you. He's watching you to see how you treat the people he died for. Even the most despicable person and the most wrong lifestyle, Jesus still died for him. And God wants to see how you're going to be. Are you going to be gentle, not judgmental? Are you going to tell the truth tactfully? Now, the greatest lab for this, folks, is the family. It's in the marriage. That's where we're to learn the principles of respect. If you don't, it causes all kinds of problems in your life. And some of you have had some bad relationships with your parents or with your husband or your wife because of this. And I want to say to you, it's never too late to get started. Let me give you two more ways to show respect. Number four, when you share your faith with people, respect, don't reject them. Respect them, don't reject them. When you share your faith. First Peter tells us, if anybody asks you why you believe as you do, be ready to tell him and do it in a gentle and respectful way. You don't argue people into heaven. You don't blow them away by saying, turn or burn, you're going to die and fry while we go to the sky. You know? You don't argue. James 1:20 says, the anger, a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. In other words, God says, I want you to shine your life, not be a blowtorch. Okay? He says, when you share your faith, do it with gentleness and respect. Be tactful with those who are unbelievers. And number five, when people are rude to you, respond politely. Respond politely. In other words, don't retaliate by being rude back. That only adds fuel to the fire. It just makes things worse. The Bible says, don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. I saw a great example of that when I read this card sent to me by one of the parents in our church about their 8-year-old son. I said, dear Rick, our 8-year-old son, Doug, had a player from the Little League team he played against come up and tell Doug after a game that, quote, Doug's team sucked. Our 8-year-old Doug looked at him straight in the eye and said, you pitched a great game. The little boy was speechless. I bet he walked away feeling pretty bad too. Doug had loved and overcome, and we told him that Jesus must have been smiling. He was. And anytime you treat God's creature, another person, with respect and dignity, no matter how despicable and vile they are, God's going, you did it right. You did it right. Now, where does that kind of respect come from? By watching TV? No. It starts in the home. It starts in the family. That's why the fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. Notice, it says, honor your father and mother so that you may live a long, good life. He's saying that respect for authority begins in the family. One of the most critical lessons that a child learns is how to relate to authority. Because if a child doesn't learn how to relate to authority and show respect, he'll never be successful in his career, never will be successful in school, never be successful in relationships or marriage. Because you can't get along in this world if you don't know how to cooperate and treat people with dignity. because whatever you give out, you're going to get back. So the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Now notice it says honor both, father and mother. You know, the problem today is because divorce is so prevalent, kids are having to choose. Am I going to honor mom or dad? And that's sad, because God says he wants us to honor both. Now understand the principle. He doesn't say honor your parents' parenting skills. It says nothing about whether they were good or bad parents, whether they were effective or ineffective, whether they were helpful or harmful. He's saying here, honor the position. What that means is if your parents hadn't got together, you wouldn't exist. They are the source of your life. So you honor them for their position, regardless of whether they were good or bad or making any kind of value judgment on their parenting. It's if in the military you see a man with a number of stars on his shoulder, you honor that position regardless of the character of the person who's wearing it. So that's what he's saying there. He's saying the fact that when God wanted to make you, when God thought up you, he wanted to make you unique. And he knew it would take a certain gene pool to make you. And so he brought two parents together who had just the right chromosomes that made you, you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
No matter where you're listening to this program right now around the world, I want to thank you for your support of Daily Hope. Your prayers and your financial contributions are literally helping people all over the world learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. Did you know that in just this short time, people from over 200 countries have visited the Daily Hope website? And we have listeners all throughout the United States, India, Africa, South America, Australia, Korea, Hong Kong, Europe, all over the Middle East. In fact, right now, someone's listening to this broadcast and getting to know Jesus because of your prayer and because of your financial support. So I just wanted to say thank you. Your support means so much to me personally, and I want you to know that I take your trust very seriously. Every single dollar you donate to Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. You know that I don't take a salary from Daily Hope. You're never going to hear about Kay and me owning a private jet or some boat, because we want to invest as much as possible into God's kingdom, because that's what's going to matter for eternity. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth." And I believe Jesus meant it when he said that. Now, we want Daily Hope to reach more and more people. So I would appreciate you prayerfully continuing your support of this ministry. Would you pray about it? Here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, what do you want to give through me? I would love to have you as a partner in hope.
It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.